Today's shiur will be Masechta Shavuos Daf Mem Dalet, but we will start 19 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, Omer Shmuel said, Hi, man, the oisvei alfe zuzeh lechavrei, the person who lent 1,000 zuz to his friend, umashkele kata de migle, and he gave him as a mashkele, he gave him as collateral, a handle of a saw, ovet kata de migle, ovet alfe zuzeh. If he lost that handle, then he lost his whole loan, the whole 1,000 zuz. And the reason is, since he took that as a mashkin, so obviously he regarded that mashkin as sufficient security for the loan, so it's as if to him it's worth 1,000 zuz. So if he lost the mashkin, he loses his loan. But it's self-understood that this is only if he lost the mashkin. If he didn't lose the mashkin, then definitely when the time for payment will come, the person will have to pay him, and he gives back the mashkin. And the borrower cannot say, well, you keep the mashkin. The mashkin to you was worth 1,000 zuz, and I don't want to pay the 1,000 zuz. You can't say that. Because he only took it as a mashkin, but he didn't take it as payment. So therefore, he says to him, this is only collateral just in case you don't pay me. But I still want to get paid. So therefore, he is mechuyev to pay him the 1,000 zuz. But if he doesn't return the mashkin to him, then he doesn't pay him anything. And therefore, if he lost the mashkin, which means he is not able to return the mashkin to him, then he doesn't have to pay him anything. Since he accepted this as a mashkin for the loan of 1,000 zuz, so if he doesn't return the mashkin to him, he doesn't have to give him anything of the loan. And we don't say that he just deducts the value of the mashkin, as soon as the mashkin wasn't worth much, so we'll just deduct that small amount, and the rest he will have to pay him. So we say no, as long as he doesn't return the mashkin, he doesn't have to pay him anything. But this is only if he took one handle of the saw as a mashkin for the 1,000 zuz. But if he took two handles of saws as a mashkin for the 1,000 zuz, then we don't say that each handle is for 500 zuz. And therefore, let's say he loses one handle, so then he only owes him 500 zuz. What we say is that both together are a mashkin. And therefore, if he doesn't give him both of them together back, then he doesn't have to give him anything. But if he only lost one and he gives him one back, so then he only deducts the amount that that handle is worth, and the rest he has to pay him, because he never said that one is for 500 and the other one is for the other 500. Both together are for the 1,000. So if he doesn't give him back both together, then he doesn't owe him anything. But if he gives him back part of it, so then he got his mashkin back. Aye, the mashkin is worth less now, so that difference you deduct and he doesn't owe him. But we don't say that if he doesn't give him back one, he doesn't owe him 500. But Reb Nachman says, "Afilu tarte katose, even by two, and even if they didn't make up that one is for 500 and the other one is for 500, so we say, Ovat chode, ovat chomish meya. If he loses one handle, then he loses $500. Ovat idoch, if he lost the other, ovat kula, then he loses the whole loan. Because we do assume that the pshat is that one handle is for half of the loan, and the other handle is for the other half of the loan. But if he took a mashkin, a handle of his saw, and a piece of silver, so then we don't say that. We don't say that the piece of silver is for half of the loan, and the other thing, the handle of the saw, is for other half of the loan. And therefore, if he loses the handle of the saw, he loses $500 of his loan. Why? Since a piece of silver is fit for payment also. So here we say that when he accepted the silver as a mashkin, he really meant the value of the silver. When he accepts as a mashkin something which has no value, very little value, and that you can't consider that as if this could be used for the payment, then we say he accepted this as a mashkin, so this takes the place of the loan. But when he takes as a mashkin something that has a very big value, so then we assume he actually meant the value of that piece of silver should be the mashkin. So in this case, we already don't say sova v'kibul, which means that he accepted upon himself that the mashkin should be in place of the loan. That we only say when it has no value at all. But when it does have a value, so we don't say that, so then we just follow the value of the mashkin. And therefore, if he lost the handle of the saw, we only deduct from the loan the value of that handle of the saw. But say, even if he took a mashkin, a piece of silver and a handle of a saw, of a natche, of a talge. If he loses the piece of silver, then he loses half of the loan. Ovat kate, if he loses the handle of the saw, ovat kule, then he lost the whole loan. Because since he took two things as a mashkin for his loan, so we say one thing is for half of the loan, and one thing is for the other half of the loan. Then the Gemara asks, Nan, I'll ask you a kasha, we learn in the Mishnah. If the Malva says to the Loive that I lent you a sela on that mashkin, and the mashkin was worth only a shekel, which is a half of a sela, so now you still owe me a shekel. The Haloime and the Loive, the borrower, says, Loi no. You lent me a sela on the mashkin, and the mashkin was worth 3 dinrin, so I only owe you 1 dinar, which is half of a shekel, because a shekel has 2 dinin, and a sela which has 2 shkolin has 4 dinin. So he says to him that the mashkin was worth 3 dinin, and since the loan was a sela, I owe you 1 dinar. So come, the malve claims 2 dinin, 1 shekel, and the loyger says, I only owe you 1 dinar. So the Mishnah says chayiv is chayiv, he has to swear because he's a regular mitzvah mixer. But the question is, why lay malay? Why doesn't he tell him, Paul Kabil say, didn't you receive it since you gave him a mashkin? And we said before, when a person accepts a mashkin and loses the mashkin, then he doesn't have to pay him at all. So why doesn't he pay him? Even according to you, that the mashkin was only worth 1 shekel, I still don't owe you anything. Since you lost the mashkin, and we said that when a person accepts a mashkin, that is instead of the loan, and if he loses the mashkin, then he doesn't owe him anything. So in this case also, he shouldn't owe him anything. And the Gemara answers, Masnis and Bediporich. The Mishnah is speaking in the case where he stated explicitly that he takes the mashkin only for its value, not for the whole loan. And therefore, he claims to him that the value was a shekel, you still owe me a shekel. And since he says to him, no, it was worth 3 dinrin, and I only owe you a dinner, he's called a Maidra Mikra and a Chayav Shmuel. But Shmuel, but the Lord Pirish. When Shmuel said his din, that if you take a mashkin, that is the place of the loan, and therefore if you lose the mashkin, no matter how much it's worth, you lose the whole loan. That is, if you didn't make anything up. He didn't say specifically that the mashkin is only taken for the value of the mashkin. So then we assume that the mashkin is instead of the loan, and therefore, if he loses the mashkin, he doesn't owe anything. This is the way we have the girsa in our Gemara, and the way Rashi learns. But Tosfos brings that the Rabbeinu Chananel has an opposite girsa, and so does the Rabbeinu Tam, that not masnisen b'deporish, but masnisen b'deloy porish, and ki komar shmul b'deporish. And the Mishnah is when he didn't make up, which means if you don't say anything and you just give a mashkin, so then the din is that you only take the value of the mashkin, and if you lose the mashkin, you only deduct the value of the mashkin. Shmuel was a case where he said specifically that I take the mashkin instead of the loan. Then we say that if he loses the mashkin, he doesn't have to pay anything. And the reason we accept this gear, that Taisa says, is because it makes no sense to say that when a person normally takes a mashkin without saying anything, that should be the place of the loan, even if the loan is much more than the mashkin. So therefore, we have to assume that what Shmuel meant was that if you make up that the mashkin is instead of the loan, that's how it stays, and if you lose the mashkin, you don't have to pay. Because there would have been a sfarah to say it, even if you make up that the mashkin should be for the whole loan, still, if he loses the mashkin, it's still owing. Because after all, the mashkin is not worth the same amount as the loan. And that's the chiddush of Shmuel, that if you made up, that's how it is, and if you lose the mashkin, he doesn't owe him anything more. But then the Gemara says, Lay make it anoyim, let us say that this is a machloikas anoyim, whether we say this svara, that if he takes a mashkin for a loan and loses the mashkin, then he doesn't have to pay him at all, because we learn, Amalves chaveiroi. Ala mashkin, if somebody lends money to his friend on collateral, va'ovad hamashkin, and he lost the mashkin, yishba, he has to swear that he lost it, v'yitavas ma'isa. And he takes his money, which means the debt still stays. All he has to do is swear, I lost the mashkin, and get his money for the loan. Tiber Rebbe Eliezer, that's the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Bativa, and Rebbe Tiber says, Yochol hu sheyoyim eloi, the loy they could say to the malva, klum hil visani al mashkin, didn't I borrow the money from you on the mashkin, which means didn't you lend me the money on the mashkin, or but the mashkin of the ma'isecha. If the mashkin is lost, you lose your money. But if the case was that he lent him 1,000 zuz with a shtar, and he gave him the mashkin for it, everyone agrees, Ovad HaMashkin, Ovdu Moisah. If you lose the mashkin, then you lose the money. If it was without a shtar, that's when you have a machloikis in Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Eliezer says that he still has to pay. And Rabbi Akiva says he loses his money. But with the shtar, everyone agrees he loses the money. Now the Gemara explains. Hey, Chadomi, what is the case here? If the mashkin is worth the amount of the loan, my time at the Rebbe Eliezer, what would be the reason of the Rebbe Eliezer? Why does the Rebbe Eliezer say? And all he does is he swears that he lost the mashkin and gets his money. Why should he get his money? If the mashkin had the same value as the loan, and he lost the mashkin, so he is responsible, and therefore he shouldn't get his money. Elulav must he say, that we're talking in a case where the mashkin was not worth the amount of the loan. And the machloik is between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is, but the Shmuel komiflikin. They are arguing in the din of Shmuel. Whether a mashkin, which is not worth the amount of the whole choyit, whether when a person receives it, takes it, does it mean he only takes it with zichron dvarim? He just takes it to remember that the other person owes him the money? Or do we say that he took it in place of the law? If we say he just took it with zichron dvarim, just to remember that the person owes him money, then we say like this. He is only a shoymer chinam on the mashkin. He is like a person who is watching the mashkin for no pay. The din by a shoymer chinam is that if the object he is watching gets lost or stolen, he has to swear shalei pasha, he has to swear that he wasn't negligent, and he has to swear she'ena reshusay, that it's not by him, that he's not holding it, and he is put. So too, this malva who claims he lost the mashkin would have to swear shalei pasha on ena reshusay, and he is put on the mashkin, he's not responsible for the mashkin. And as far as the loan is concerned, he has to get all his money back. That is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. That's why Rabbi Eliezer says he just swears and gets his money. But Rabbi Akiva holds, like Shmuel, that when he received the mashkin, he took it as instead of the loan. And therefore, if the mashkin is lost, then the loiver doesn't owe him anything. This is exactly like Shmuel says. And this is the reason why, if it was a loan through a shtar, and he lost the mashkin, so then everyone agrees that since he lost the mashkin, he loses his loan. And the reason is, because in this case, we can't say that the reason he took the mashkin just for zichrin dvarim, just to remember that the person owes him the money. Because for that, he has a shtar. So then why did he take the mashkin? So obviously, he took the mashkin instead of a loan. So everyone agrees here that this takes the place of the loan, and if he lost the mashkin, so then he doesn't owe him anything. But in the meantime, we see that this machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is really a machloikis, whether we hold like Shmuel's din or not. So it comes out that Shmuel's din is really dependent on the machloikis of Tanoim. But Gemara says, loy no. Then as we could say, bedeloy shavi kula alma less with the Shmuel. That if the mashkin is not worth the amount of the loan, everyone agrees, not like Shmuel, that in this case, if he lost the mashkin, he only loses the amount that the mashkin was worth. That's all you deduct from the loan. But he owes him the loan. The hocha bedeshavi shir zuze. Here the machloikis is, if the mashkin did have the value of the loan. We asked before, if so, what is the reason of Rabbi Eliezer that if he lost the mashkin, he still has to get paid his loan if the mashkin had the same value as the loan? So l'chura, if he lost the mashkin, then he shouldn't have to get the loan back. Machloikis is, but the Yitzchak only forget. They're arguing in the what Rabbi Yitzchak said. Don't Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak said, Minayin l'balchoyv shikoyin the mashkin. How do we know that the balchoyv, that a lender, when he gets a mashkin, he is actually coined the mashkin, he acquires the mashkin. That the mashkin at that time, while it's in his possession, is considered his. Because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, if you take a mashkin for a loan, and the person who gave you the mashkin needs the object to use, so you should return it to him at the time when he has to use it. And the Pasuk says, and for you it will be considered a tzedakah, a righteous act. Now, im einai koine mashkin, if the malve is not koine the mashkin, it doesn't become his. Why is it tzedakah? If he gives it back to him, it's not considered tzedakah, because he's giving back to him his thing. Since we say that it will be considered like a tzedakah, the comment from here we know, the balchoyf should coin the mashkin. That the balchoyf is coin the mashkin. And therefore, if he returns it to him, it's the pshara, he's giving his thing to that person. And that's why the Torah says it will be considered like a tzedakah. And this is the machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, whether we hold like the Yitzchak or not. Rabbi Eliezer does not hold like the Yitzchak. He holds the balchoyf is not koine the mashkin. And therefore, the malv is only considered a shoymer chinam on the mashkin, and if it got lost, all he does is swears like any shoymer chinam, and he's not responsible for the mashkin. And the loan still stays. That's why he's still able to collect his money. like Rabbi Akiva holds, like Rabbi Yitzchok, and he is Kanye the Mashkin, and if he is Kanye the Mashkin, it's his responsibility to watch the Mashkin, and if the Mashkin is lost, then that is deducted from the loan. Now here we're talking in the case where the Mashkin had the same value as the loan, so we deduct the value of the Mashkin, so automatically he doesn't owe anything. And that's why Rabbi Akiva holds that if he lost the Mashkin, then the loan falls. But then the Gemara says, Lema, are you telling me? The Rebbe Yitzchak Tanoihi, what Rebbe Yitzchak said, really depends on this machlokes of Tanoim, which means that not everybody agrees to Rebbe Yitzchak. Rebbe Eliezer argues on Rebbe Yitzchak. So then the question is, how could Rebbe Yitzchak say such a din, as if it's his own din, when really all he is doing is he is paskening like Rebbe Akiva? So he should have said, I hold like Rebbe Akiva. But since he didn't say it, obviously his statement does not depend on any machlokes. But what we said before, it seems that his statement depends on the machloikis of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says, the Tisbara, what do you think? When did Rabbi Yitzchak say his din, the machloikis is kind of the mashkin, shemashkinoi, shaloi b'shas halvor? If he took the mashkin not at the time of the loan. For instance, if the time came to pay and he didn't have any money to pay, so that's when the bezin took a mashkin. Because this pasuk, l'chati yitzdaka, actually in the pasuk, speaks in the case where the bezin took the mashkin later, because it says in the pasuk b'chutz tamoy that he should stand outside v'yish asher atanoy sheboy, and the person will go in and take the mashkin out. And the Gemara says in Bar Metzia that who is the person that goes into the house to take the mashkin? That is the shliach of the bezin. So obviously the pasuk is speaking in a case where the bezin sends the shliach to take a mashkin. That means that at the time of the loan he didn't get a mashkin. Later on, when it came to pay, he didn't have what to pay, so the bezin took a mashkin away. But concerning such a mashkin, the pasuk says alachot yidrako. So in such a case, the balchayv is kanya the mashkin. But mashkin ay b'shas halvor. But if he took a mashkin at the time of the loan, miyomad did Rabbi Yitzchak say his din there too? So we have to assume that Rabbi Yitzchak did not say his din there. In other words, in the case where he took a mashkin at the time of the loan, everyone agrees. Even Rabbi Yitzchak holds that he is not kanya the mashkin. And therefore, we must say it in the case of the machloik is between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, where it is a case that he took the mashkin at the time of the loan, everyone would agree that he's not going to the mashkin. And so we cannot say that the reason for Rabbi Akiva that he holds that if he loses the mashkin, he loses the loan, is because he's going to the mashkin. When even Rabbi Yitzchak will hold that in that case, he is not going to the mashkin. So automatically we cannot say the machloikas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is a machloikas whether we accept Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion or not. So therefore we must say the machloikas is something else. Elo the Gemara says like this. Mashkin mishloi b'shas alvo soi kul amalit ligi v'ishlu de Rabbi Yitzchak. If you took a mashkin not at the time of the loan, everyone agrees, no one argues that you do hold like a Yitzchak. In other words, the machloikis in Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva is not in whether we accept Rabbi Yitzchak's svara or not, because everyone accepts Rabbi Yitzchak's svara. Rabbi Yitzchak said his din in the case where he took the mashkin shloi b'shas alvo soi, then everyone agrees that he is kanya the mashkin. V'holcha b'mashkin b'shas alvo soi. And the machloik is here between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva is when he took a mashkin at the time of the loan, when everyone agrees that he is not kind of the mashkin. But what is the machloik is between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva? Ube shoymer aveda ka miflige. The machloik is what kind of din does a shoymer aveda have? A person who watches a lost object for somebody till he returns it, what kind of din does he have? Does he have a din of a shoymer sochar, or does he have a din of a shoymer chinam? And the same Shaila would be if he watches a mashkin for the loiver. What kind of din does the shomer of the mashkin have? Does he have a din of a shomer chinam, or does he have a din of a shomer socha? The itma, because we learn shomer aveido, a person who watches a lost object that he found before he turns it. Rabbi Omar, the shomer chinam. Rabbi says he has a din like a shomer chinam, which means he is not responsible for it. If it gets lost or stolen, he doesn't have to pay for it, because he has a din like a person who watches an object for somebody else without getting paid for it. Since he doesn't get paid for his watching the object, so he is a shomer chinam, and therefore all the din of a shomer chinam would apply to shomer aveda also. Rabbi Yosef says, ki shomer sochar, he has a din like a person who watches and does get paid. And the reason we consider it as if he gets paid, because he's doing a mitzvah. So he gets the schar of the mitzvah. So that schar, as Rashi says here, is payment for his watching. So he's considered like a shomer sochar. And therefore, all the dinim of a shomer sochar would apply to him. That if it got lost or stolen, he is responsible for it. Now the same machloket if he has concerning a shomer aveda would be concerning the person who has the mashkin. But even though he is not koyin the mashkin and he's only a shomer on the mashkin, but according to Rabbi who holds that a shomer aveda is a shomer chinam, so too will he say that the person who watches the mashkin is a shomer chinam. And therefore, if it gets lost, he is not responsible for it. He has to swear it got lost, but then he's not responsible for it. But according to the Yosef, he would be a Shomer Socha. Because just like a Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Socha because of the schar, of the mitzvah that he gets, the one that's watching the mashkin is also doing a mitzvah. And therefore, he will also get schar. So he's also considered a Shomer Socha. And therefore, if the mashkin gets lost, he is responsible for it. And this is the machloikas here between the Eliezer and the Akiva. The Eliezer holds that he is only a Shomer Chinam, and therefore he says if he lost the mashkin, then he just swears that he lost it, and he's not responsible, and he still has to get paid for the loan. While the Akiva holds that he's like a Shomer Socher, and therefore if he lost the mashkin, he is responsible for it. And since the mashkin had the value of the loan, and he is responsible for the mashkin, so the Mele, he loses the loan. He doesn't have to get paid for that loan. Then the Gemara says, "Leimel, will you say that Rabbi Yosef Tanoihi, that Rabbi Yosef's opinion that he holds a Shomer Aveda is like a Shomer Socher, that this is dependent on a Machlokes Tanoim?" And as Rashi explains, that concerning Rabbi's opinion, definitely is a Machlokes Tanoim, because it's impossible to say that Rabbi's opinion should fit according to Rabbi Lozan and Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva definitely disagrees with Rabbi. Since Rabbi Akiva says that he loses the loan, obviously Rabbi Akiva holds that even a shomer of the mashkin is considered a shomer socher, while Rabbi says that even a shomer aveda is considered a shomer chinam. The question of the Gemara is, what about Rabbi Yosef? Must we say that Rabbi Yosef also depended on the machloikas of these tanoim, or can we say that both tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, hold like Rabbi Yosef? In other words, is there a possibility to make a difference between a shomer aveda and a shomer of the mashkin? That the Shomer Aveda should be considered a Shomer Socher, but the one that's keeping the mashkin is not considered a Shomer Socher, even according to Rabbi Yosef. And b'meila, it's possible that even Rabbi Eliezer, who says that he is not responsible for the mashkin, maybe still holds like Rabbi Yosef. That by the case of a Shomer Aveda, he's a Shomer Socher, but it's only by the one that's keeping the mashkin that he has to be like a Shomer Chinam. And the Gemara says, like, really we don't have to say that the opinion of Rabbi Yosef is dependent on the Machlokes Tanoim. Because the Shomer Aveda, the Kulam Yisud Rabbi Yosef, it's possible to say that concerning a Shomer Aveda, everyone holds like Rabbi Yosef that he's a Shomer Socher. The Hoche, the Malve Torech L'Mashkin Kamitzi. Here the Machloikis is in the case where the Malve needs the Mashkin, which means the Malve wants to use the Mashkin. Normally, when you take a Mashkin, you can't use the Mashkin. You just hold it till he pays you. But what happens if the Malve wants to use the Mashkin? He needs it, and he says that I will, so to speak, rent the mashkin from you, I will use the mashkin, and whatever the value of my usage is, I will deduct it from the loan. Now the question is, in a case like that, do we consider him holding the mashkin as doing a mitzvah or not? The whole reason why Rabbi Yosef said a Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Socher, because he will get the reward for doing the mitzvah of watching the Aveda. And therefore, we said before, the same would apply to the Malve who's watching the mashkin. He's also doing a mitzvah. But if the Malve is using the mashkin for himself, then the question is it considered that he's doing a mitzvah that we should consider him as a Shomer Socher or not? Mar Sovar Mitzvah Kovi. The Bakiva holds that he still does a mitzvah, even though he's using it for himself, but nevertheless he's also watching it for the Loive, so he's still doing a mitzvah. And therefore, we still consider that he will get schar for the mitzvah, so he's still considered a Shomer Socher. And therefore, if it got lost, he was responsible for it, and since it was the value of the loan, he loses the loan. Omar Sovan Rabbi Eliezer holds, love meets the coffee, that he's not doing a mitzvah. Since he's using the mashkin for himself, automatically he's not doing any mitzvah. If he's not doing any mitzvah, he will not get the schar for the mitzvah. And therefore, in this case, he's not considered a Shomer Socher, and that's why he said he's only a Shomer Chinam, and if he loses the mashkin, he swears that he lost it, and he still collects his loan. This is the way Rashi learns the pshat in the words of the Gemara, the Malva Tzorech L'mashkin. That the Malva uses the mashkin, and that's why there's a machloik, is whether it's still considered that he's doing a mitzvah or not. But Tosfos brings that Rabbi Hananel says the pshat of the Malva Tzorech L'mashkin means that the Malva would not have lent him the money if he wouldn't have given him the mashkin. And that's the machloik, is that in a case like that, whether it's still considered that he's doing a mitzvah by holding the mashkin. But Tosfos says it's hard to understand what the connection is. Why is it that There is a svara, since he didn't want to lend him the money without a mashkin, it shouldn't be considered that he's doing a mitzvah. What is the connection? And it seems that Tosfos accepts the pshat of Rashi. Then the Gemara continues, Lei miket anoi, let us say that it's din of Shmuel, that if he lent money on a mashkin and lost the mashkin, then he loses the loan, that this is really a machloikas of anoyin. Because he learned, Hamalves chaveri ala mashkin, if someone lends his friend money on a mashkin, the nichnes of Shemitah, in the middle, Shemitah comes in. Now we know the din by Shemitah is that any debt that you owe falls off when Shemitah comes around. But there's another din, that if there was a mashkin on the debt, so then Shemitah is not nishamed. Shemitah doesn't take the loan away. So what it says here, that if you lend your friend on a mashkin, and Shemitah came, afa pi she'ene shove elo palge, even though the mashkin is only worth half of the loan, ene mishamed. It is not nishamed. And the Gemara will explain later whether we mean it's not Meshamed the whole loan, or it's not Meshamed just that part of the loan that's against the value of the mashkin. This is the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Reb Yehuda Hanasi says, Im hoya mashkoine k'neged choivoy eina Meshamed. If the mashkin had the value of the loan, then it is not Meshamed. Being that this loan has a mashkin, the loan doesn't fall off and he still owes it. Im lav, if the mashkin did not have the value of the loan, mishamet, it is mishamet, and the loan falls off. Now the question of the Gemara is, my einay mishamet, the kumet anakamet. What does the tanakamet mean with the word einay mishamet? The Shimon ben Gamliel, when he said that even though the mashkin is only worth half of the loan, still it's not mishamet. What does he mean? Elaim, if you're going to say kenegdoi, that it's not mishamet only the amount in the loan, which is against the mashkin. Michlau, so then it would prove that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi saw that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who argues against Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he holds kenegdo nama mishamet, that even the amount of the loan which is against the value of the mashkin is also mishamet, because otherwise what's the machloikis? If Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that only the part of the loan which is against the mashkin, the amount of the loan which has the value of the mashkin, only that is not mishamet, and if Yehuda Hanasi comes and argues and says, no, it is Meshamet, obviously he is saying that even the amount of the loan, which is against the value of the mashkin, is also Meshamet. But that doesn't make sense. Elo amai tof is mashkin, so why did he take the mashkin? The reason a person takes the mashkin is he says, help out his loan. And one of the inyanim is that Shemitah should be Meshamet. So even though the mashkin is not worth the whole amount of the loan, so at least when he took the mashkin to part of the amount of the loan, he feels that at least for that, the mashkin will help. But how can we say that even for that the mashkin shouldn't help? Elolav, therefore, we must say, kineged kulay, that when the Shimon ben Gamliel says that even though the mashkin is only worth half of the loan, nevertheless, it's not mishamet, he means it's not mishamet the whole loan. And that's where the machloikis is with him and the Yehuda Hanasi. The Yehuda Hanasi says, no, that it is mishamet, which means the other part of the loan, which is not against the value of the mashkin, that is mishamet. So what is the machloikis here between Shimon ben Gamliel and Reb Yehuda Hanasi? Or with the Shmuel Kumitzvah? They argue whether we accept the svar of Shmuel. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds, like Shmuel said, that when you take a mashkin, even if it's not the same value as the loan, nevertheless, it's against the whole loan. While Reb Yehuda Hanasi says that it's only against the amount of the loan which has the value in the mashkin. And therefore, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds that it is not neshamet the whole loan, while Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds it's only not Meshamed the amount of the loan against the value of the mashkin, but not the rest. So it seems like this din of Shmuel is dependent on the machloik is between Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The Gemara says, "Lo, no, lo'ay lo'am kinegdah." The emes, the whole machloik is concerning the amount of the loan which is against the value of the mashkin. Ubahokam, if again, this is the machloik is Tanakama Sovar kinegdah. The Tanakama Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Again, this is the machloikis Tanekame Sovar Kenegde. The Tanekame Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds that the amount in the loan, which is against the value of the mashkin, that amount is not mishamet. The Reb Yehuda Hanasi Sovar, Reb Yehuda Hanasi holds Kenegde nam mishamet. That even that amount is also mishamet. Udekamet Ayat Lamai Tofisle. So what reason did he hold on to the mashkin if the mashkin doesn't help anything? And even the amount in the loan which is against the value of the mashkin is also mishamet, then what's the use of the mashkin? Why did he take the mashkin? He took it lezichet varim ba'alme. The Gemara answered, he took it just to remember that the other person owes the money. But be'emes, if the mashkin doesn't have the full value of the loan, then it doesn't help at all concerning the loan, concerning Shemitah. unless the maskin has the full value of the loan. Hadin l'shvur tadayonim, hadin l'shvur tadayonim, hadin l'shvur tadayonim. Kol hanishboim shebetoyer, nishboim v'le mashalmim, ve'elu nishboim v'noitlim, v'chul. Concerning the opinion of Shmuel, that the Gemara said that he holds that if he takes a maskin which is worth less than the loan, nevertheless, if he loses the maskin, he loses the whole loan. And the Gemara before asked the question on Shmuel from our Mishneh, where it's mashmeh, that if he loses the maskin, he doesn't lose the whole loan. And the Gemara answered, Masnitin b'dipodish, he come a Shmuel b'diloy podish. That our Mishneh is talking in a case where he specifies, when he took the maskin, he said clearly that he doesn't take the maskin against the whole loan, he only is taking the maskin against the value of the maskin. But Shmuel, when he said that if you lose the maskin, you lose the whole loan, that's when he didn't specify at all. And then we say that if he loses the maskin, he loses the whole loan. That was Rashi's pshat, we said before. But the Rabbi Nechananel, as places brings, learns, the gives it the opposite. That the Mishnah is talking in a case with the Lloyd Peters. That if you don't specify, you don't say anything, then we assume that the maskin was only taken for the amount of the loan which is against the value of the maskin. But Shmuel, when he said that if you lose the maskin, you lose the whole loan, that is when you specify. Which means that you said clearly, when you took the maskin, I am taking the maskin for the whole loan. So there the din is, that if you lose the maskin, you lose the whole loan. But so it is after Kasha, because the Gemara brings that there is a machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara wanted to say that the machloikis is in the words of Shmuel, whether we hold like Shmuel or not. And we said that the Rabbi Eliezer who says that he swears that he lost the mashkin and he collects his money doesn't hold like Shmuel. But the Rabbi Akiva who says that he loses the whole loan holds like Shmuel. Tosfos asks, according to the Gittus of the Rach, that Shmuel only said his din when you actually made up beforehand that the mashkin should be against the whole loan. So what should be the reason of Rabbi Eliezer? It could come out from the Gemara that when we say Rabbi Eliezer does not hold like Shmuel, that means that even if you made up that the mashkin should be against the whole loan, nevertheless, he doesn't lose the loan. But the question is why? If that's what you made up, so definitely he should lose the whole loan. And from the Gemara's mashmeh, that Rabbi Eliezer argues on Shmuel, according to that shot, that means that even in the case where he made up, nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer will hold that he doesn't lose the whole loan. The question is why? The Tosfos says that Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's an asmachta ba'almi, that even if you make up, it's only called an asmachta. Asmachta means when you promise something and you don't really mean what you're saying. And we assume from what you're saying if you don't mean what you're saying, you're not going to die. So then we say asmachta le'kanya, so that asmachta is not koine, and you don't have to keep your word. So therefore here too, even if you make up, when you take a maskin which doesn't have the value of the loan, that you say that this should be against the whole loan, so then we don't accept these words, and it doesn't take the place of the whole loan. And the din is therefore that if he loses the maskin, he doesn't lose the whole loan. But the truth is, Rabbi Eliezer goes even further, that not only when you lose the maskin, you don't lose the whole loan, you don't even lose the amount of money which is against the value of the maskin. As Tosfos brings the raya from the Gemara in Bab Metzia, that's the Machom Amudbeis. This is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva holds that this is not considered an asmachta. When is it considered an asmachta? If you say something to somebody and you want him to believe you, and you tell him that to make sure he will believe you, that if I don't do this, then I promise kach v'kach. So that promise is considered an asmachta. But when a person says something that really means that he wants to do what he says, so then according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not an asmachta. And that's the case here, that he says, I'm taking the mashkin for the whole loan, so he means that he's going to take the mashkin for the whole loan. According to Rabbi Akiva, that is not considered an asmachta. And another pshat Tosfos says that what does it mean when the Gemara says, according to the Gittus of the Rabbi Nechananel, that Shmuel is saying he's doing the case of Porish? It doesn't mean Porish that he specified and they made up beforehand that if he loses the mashkin, he will lose the whole loan. It means that he said, Bishas, he took the mashkin, that even though the mashkin is not worth the amount of the loan, nevertheless, I am taking it. So that's the machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer holds that when he said that, all he meant was that he is taking it for the whole loan, meaning that as long as he doesn't get paid every penny of the loan, he's not going to give back the mashkin. But he didn't mean to say that to him that mashkin is like the whole loan, and therefore if he loses the mashkin, he loses the whole loan. But Rabbi Akiva holds that when he said that, he meant that if he loses the mashkin, he loses the whole money. Then Tosfos asks the kasha, and the Gemara above Metzia Daf Yalav Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that the Mishnah that says Hamal v'Alamashkin Shemesochor, that if a person lends money on the mashkin, it becomes like a shomer socher on the mashkin. But the Gemara says that mishnah cannot go according to Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer says the seder that if you lend on a mashkin and you lose the mashkin, all you do is you swear, and you still could collect your money. So obviously, Rabbi Eliezer does not hold as a shomer socher, because if he's a shomer socher, he is responsible for the mashkin, because the shomer socher is chayiv for gneiva v'aveda. So how could he say all he does he swears and he collects all his money? So that's what the Gemara says there. That mishnah where it says that a person who lends money on the mashkin has a din of a shomer socher does not go according to the Eliezer. But l'chaura, why can't we say it does go according to the Eliezer? And let us say that the Eliezer said his din only in the case of loy pirish. That if he did not specify, so then we say that the mashkin is not against the loan. But if he specified beforehand, he is moide like Shmuel. Just like Shmuel said, that if he specified before, if they made up before, that's when if you lose the mashkin, you lose the whole loan. So maybe the Eliezer holds the same way, and that's why, according to the Eliezer, he's also considered a shomer socher. But when is he considered like a shomer socher? Only if pirish. So the Eliezer, when he said his deen, that he still could collect his chayiv, and we don't say that since he lost the mashkin, he loses the chayiv, that's the case of loy pirish. But the Mishnah where it says that if you're malvah mashkin, you have a din of a shomer socher, that is talking in a case where he did make up beforehand. And then if you lose the mashkin, you do lose the whole loan. And that could fit also according to Rabbi Eliezer. So what forces the Gemara there to say that that Mishnah cannot go according to Rabbi Eliezer? Tosfos says that if we're going to say that in the case where they made up beforehand, Rabbi Eliezer is moide like Shmuel, that he does lose the loan. And the machloik is between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Eliezer says that he doesn't lose the loan. He's only in the case of loy pirish. Then the question is, why doesn't he lose the amount of the loan that is against the value of the mashkin? Because when Rabbi Eliezer says that if he lost the mashkin, he swears and takes his money, his mashkin, he takes all his money, even the amount of money which is against the value of the mashkin. Now, the amount of money that's against the value of the mashkin definitely is not better than potash. And if we're going to say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if they made up beforehand, then if he loses the mashkin, he does lose the loan. So even if he didn't make up, but the amount of money that the mashkin is worth, definitely he should lose. So why does Rabbi Eliezer say that he doesn't lose anything? Obviously, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't even hold it. Even if you made up, you don't lose. Because Rabbi Eliezer for some reason holds that he doesn't lose anything. And therefore, it is clear that the leather holds that under no circumstances is amal v'al hamashkin eshem esochar. And that's why the Gemara says there that when it says amal v'al hamashkin eshem esochar, cannot go according to the Beliezer. And later on in Tosfos, in continuation and connection to what Tosfos said before, Tosfos says that Rabbi Yochanan paskens that the halacha is not like Shmuel. And so does the Baal halacha's gedolos. But Tosfos says from here is no raya, and adarabe, the halacha Tosfos says is like Shmuel, because since the klal is that we pass them like Reb Nachman b'dine, whenever there is an argument between Reb Nachman and somebody else in dine concerning dine mominus, we pass them like Reb Nachman. And since Shmuel holds like Reb Nachman, obviously we pass them like Shmuel. And another thing Taisha says, because according to Rabbi, that we usually pass them like Rabbi against Reb Yosef, the Gemara says that we have to establish that the Machloikas in the Belozan and Reb Akiva is according to Shmuel, as the Gemara explains, that Rabbi Akiva holds like Shmuel, and Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold like Shmuel. And since the klal is that we pass him like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Eliezer, because we know Rabbi Eliezer shamutihi, and we don't pass him like Rabbi Eliezer, but since we pass him like Rabbi Akiva, that means that we pass him like Shmuel. And another ayah, it comes out in Perek HaZov, Dafim Chesam Adbeis, that Rabbi Yochanan also holds like Shmuel. And since the klal is that Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan and Lochaki Rabbi Yochanan, that if there's a machloikas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, and since it comes out that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Shmuel, so obviously we pass like Shmuel. Concerning the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, the Gemara brought here, that Rabbi Yitzchak says, Menayim about Choyv Shekoy Demashkin. How do we know about Choyv is Koy Demashkin? Shenem of the Chot Yitz Doka. Im Eine Koy Demashkin Doka Menayim. Mikarn about Choyv Shekoy Demashkin. The Tosfos says here, that when we say about Choyv is Koy Demashkin, that means that he is only Koy it, that he is chayiv for it, for gneiva v'aveda like a shomer socher. That if it got stolen or lost, then he is responsible for it. But he is not chayiv b'onsin, which means that he doesn't become responsible for it completely. To say that he is koine legamre, he's koine completely, he is just koine legamre gneiva v'aveda, but not legamre onsin. says in the Gemara in Sof Perik Umlin in Bavmetzia Daf Tei Beis Amud Aleph that there the Gemara wants to explain it. And it says in the Mishnah that Uveyu Al Amashkin Shoyim Esochar, that if you lend a person on a Mashkin, so he's a Shoyim Esochar on the Mashkin, and the Gemara says there that this is only if he gave the Mashkin Shaboy B'Shas Halva Osoy, not at the time of the loan, and it goes according to the Yitzchak who holds that a Balchoyim is Koyim Mashkin if it was not B'Shas Halva Osoy. So we see there clearly that what kind of kinyan does a Balchoyim have in the Mashkin? Only a kinyan like a Shoyim Esochar, but not that he should be chayiv ba'insin like a shoyim. But Rashi in Bava Metzia Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph says the Feirish that according to Rabbi Yitzchak that he says Balchoyim koyim mashkin. So Rashi says lechol mila for everything, so he's chayiv ba'insin even to be chayiv ba'insin. And Tosfos there brings that it says the Feirish in the Bahag that he's chayiv only be gneiv avaveda, but he's not koyim legamre to be chayiv ba'insin. And also in the Shorim of Rav Haigor and in Shad Mem Beis it says the same thing. But then Tosfos asks, what is the difference? Why should the kinyan be only concerning Gneiv Aveda? Why shouldn't he be koine legamre even for anything? What is the reason we should say that according to the Yitzchak, when the Balchoyim is koine lemashkin, he's only koine legamre Gneiv Aveda and not for gabo anything? Nemanusha, if he is koine it, let him koine legamre even for anything. And if it's not a kinyan gomor, he's not koine completely, and he shouldn't even be like a Shem Esochah. He shouldn't even be chayev for Gneiv Aveda. And Tosfos answers there that behahi hanoe sheyochol kadosh boi seisha, that with this hanoe, that a person who takes a mashkin for somebody else has the right to use that mashkin to be mekadosh a woman with it, as it says in the first pasuk of Kedushin, that kitcha b'mashkin da'achere mekudeshes, and if you mekadosh a woman with a mashkin that you receive from somebody else, she is mekudesh, and also you're able to buy with it avodim mekakoyes, so that hanoe, that pleasure you have, that you're able to use it, that itself makes you into a shoymer chinam. That pleasure is the payment that you get, so it's as if like you are a shoymer that gets paid, and therefore you are like a shoymer sofer. But according to that, Tosfos says, you have to say that when the Gemara says in Kedushin Daf Ches that kitcha b'mashkin mekudesha, if you mekadesh a woman with someone else's mashkin, she is mekudesh, that is only if you receive the mashkin shaloi b'shach alvose, not at the time of the alvose. Because as we're saying in the Gemara here and in many places, that Rabbi Yitzchok says his din only by a mashkin shaloi b'shach alvose, not at the time of the alvose. And concerning that, we say that he has a din like a shoyim esochah. And we're saying now, why does he have a din like a shoyim esochah? Because he has the right to be mekadesh isha. That itself proves that this right to be mekadesh isha is only if he took the mashkin shaloi b'shach alvose. Because if the din would be that you have a right to be mekadesh isha, even if you took the mashkin, b'shas alvosoi, then that same hanoe you also have by a mashkin b'shas alvosoi. So you should become a shomer socher on it, even by a mashkin b'shas alvosoi. Because the whole reason we said you become a shomer socher is because you have pleasure from the fact that you have a right to be mekadesh as a isha. Now, if you have a right to be mekadesh as a isha, even if you took the mashkin b'shas alvosoi, so you have the pleasure even by a mashkin that you took b'shas alvosoi. So you should have the same kinyan. So Rabbi Yitzchak should have said his din that you are koine the mashkin even if you took the mashkin b'shas alvosoi. Since Rabbi Yitzchak says that you are koine the mashkin only shaloi b'shas alvosoi, obviously this din that you have a right to the mekadesh isha with the mashkin is only if you took the mashkin shaloi b'shas alvosoi. But then Tosfos asks, why should he be considered a shoyim esochah? Because of that, if he would not have lent the money and not received the mashkin, he would have had the money, so he was able to be mekadesh the isha with the money. So why do we say he has pleasure? The fact that he has the mashkin that he could use it in mekadesh isha, he doesn't have any extra use, any extra benefit. If he wouldn't have taken the mashkin, which means he wouldn't have lent the money, he would have had money to be mekadesh isha. So what does he gain by the mashkin? And therefore, Tosfos says the pshat is that after all the payel, he doesn't have the money, he gave the money away. If he wouldn't have taken the mashkin, he wouldn't have had with what to be mekadesh. So therefore, when he has the mashkin, we say he does have hanoah, he's able to be mekadesh isha, and that's why we say he is considered a shoyim esochah because of the hanoah, he's able to give the kedushin. Or Tosfos says that there is something more in a mashkin than money. Because a mashkin you could use for chlipim, while money cannot be made into chlipim, because the Gemara says, eimat beya nasa chlipim. So there is an extra benefit you have in the mashkin, even over the money, and therefore he's considered like a shoyim esochah. So this is the shita of Tosfos in Bav Metzia Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis, that this din that the Gemara says in Kedushin Daf Ches, that according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you could be mekadesh isha with a mashkin, this is only if you took the mashkin shaloi b'shas alvosoi. But if you took the mashkin b'shas alvosoi, then since Rabbi Yitzchak didn't say his din there, so you cannot be mekadesh isha with it. And that's what Tosfos says also in Gittin Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. But Tosfos in Kedushin Daf Ches Amud Beis says that this din that you could mikadesh isha with the mashkin d'acherim according to Reb Yitzchok is even if you took the mashkin b'shas al vaser. As Tosfos says there, that the Hora, how can the Gemara say that you can mikadesh isha with the mashkin d'acherim according to Reb Yitzchok when Reb Yitzchok said his din only by a mashkin shaloi b'shas al vaser? And the Gemara here doesn't mention this din, and it seems as if any time you took the mashkin, you could mikadesh isha. And Tosfos explains that the pshat is that since the Balchayv is koine mashkin shaloi b'shas al vosay, a real kinyan, so even if he took it b'shas al vosay, which is a lower level, nevertheless, the shibud is strong enough, at least to be mikadosh b'yas isha or to buy avodah v'kakos. And Tosfos adds that even in the Gemara in Gittin Daf Lamed Zayin, where it says that if you are malva al mashkin, if you lend money on the mashkin, shmita is not mishamis, and the Gemara gives the reason there is because the Balchayv is koine the mashkin. And Reb Yitzchok, we know, said his din only if he took it shloi b'shas al vosay. But the Gemara is there when it says if you are malva al mashkin, it is not mishamet, it is mashme, even if you took the mashkin b'shas al vosay, because the word hamalva al mashkin is mashme, that you lend the money at the time of the loan, when the loan took place, you took the mashkin. Nevertheless, it is not mishamet, the Gemara, because of Reb Yitzchok, so we must say the same shot, that since if you took the mashkin shloi b'shas al vosay, the shibud is very strong. The story is that even if you took a mishas al vosay, you are koinet at least legabe this din that it should not be mishamis, because at least it's called shalachicha b'yedecha, and we dash in the tefillah that esachicha tashmat yedecha v'loy shalachicha b'yedecha. That means that if you already have a mashkin, then it is not mishamis. And Tosfos says that the same thing is concerning the Gemara in Tzachin, where it says that Yisrael shehilve for akam al chemtzi achar apesa oivet, according to the Meir, that if a yid lend money to a goy and the mashkin he took was chometz, so you are oivet. And the Gemara there says why? Because the Yisrael is koinu the mashkin, like the Yitzchok said. So we don't have to say that it means only if you took the mashkin later on, but even if you took the mashkin b'shas al vosay. I would say that the Yitzchok said his din only if you took the mashkin shaloi b'shas al vosay. So it says the same svara, that since if you took it shaloi b'shas al vosay, the kinyan is complete. So then even if you took it b'shas al vosay, when the kinyan is not that strong, but nevertheless, it is a certain level of kinyan, enough that it's considered that you have chometz in your house. So we see here a clear machloikis between different toisvetans. The toisvet in Bab Metzia and toisvet in Gittin hold that all these dinin that were said concerning being koine and mashkin, whether it is the Gemara in Tzachin, or the Gemara in Gittin, or the Gemara in Kedushin, it's all if you took the mashkin, like the Yitzchok said his din, while here in Kedushin, toisvet says that even if you took the mashkin, b'shas al vosay, nevertheless, you could be mikadosh as a isha, and it's not mishamet, and if you took it for Pesach, then you are oizah b'ayiro b'ayimotah. What is the reason why in other places Tosfos learns that this is only if you took the mashkin shloi b'shas al vosay, while in other places Tosfos learns that even if you took it b'shas al vosay, it's all based on that kasha that Tosfos asked in Bav Metzia Daf Tei Beis Amud Beis? Because the reason Tosfos gave there why he is only a shem esochas and he is not chayiv b'onsin is because he has a schar, he gets paid for his watching it. What does he get paid? He has the hanor that he's able to use it to the mekadesh isha. And then Tosfos asks, but why does he have hanor from having the mashkin? If he wouldn't have had the mashkin, which means he wouldn't have lent the money to begin with, he would have had money. And if he would have money, he could have used the money also to the mekadesh isha, so he didn't gain anything by having the mashkin. So Tosfos answered, but after all, the pearl now, he doesn't have the money. If he wouldn't have the mashkin, he wouldn't be able to be mikadosh isha, and that's why we consider it hanor. Now this svara itself is the reason why we should make a chiluk between b'shas al vosay and shloi b'shas al vosay. When could we say this svara that Tosfos says? That be'emes, you could have the mikadosh isha with the money, but the pearl, you don't have the money. So now that you got the mashkin, you have hanor that you have something to use to mikadosh isha. But this svara of this hanor is only if you took the mashkin shaloi b'shas al vosay. Because if you took the mashkin b'shas al vosay, we can't say that's for it. Because the moment you're taking the mashkin, that's the moment you're giving your money as a halvor. So that moment you still have the money. So how can we say that when you take the mashkin, you have schar for taking the mashkin, for watching it, the fact that you're able to be mikadosh isha with it, when really, at the point, at the moment you are taking the mashkin, that's the moment you're giving up your money. Don't give up your money and don't take the mashkin. And you still have money to be mikadosh isha. And therefore we say that if you took the mashkin b'shas al vosay, einoch hanami. Since at that time you still have the money, so you have no hanor by taking the mashkin. And therefore, you are not considered a shem esochas. and it's not considered yours, and therefore you cannot be Mekadosh Aisha. And it's not considered yours Lagabah the other dinim either. But if you took the Maschi Shaloi B'Shah Salvos, not at the time of the loan, so at that time you already didn't have the money from before. When the time to pay came and he didn't have money to pay, he gave you the Maschi, at that time you are happy. At least now you have a Maschi and you could use the Maschi to be Mekadosh Aisha. And Mela, only if you took the Maschi Shaloi B'Shah Salvos, you have that Hanoi, and that's why only then you are considered a Shem Asocha. That's the thought of the Tosfos in Bometzi and in Gittin. But obviously, Tosfos in Gedushin holds that this is not the reason why we consider it to be a Shem HaSochar. And since it's not based on this reason, we are able to say already that this deen that he's able to be Mekadosh HaYisha also applies even if he took the Mashkin B'Shah Salvosi. Even though at that point he's not a Shem HaSochar yet, because Rabbi Yitzchak said his deen only if he took it Shalei B'Shah Salvosi. So you must find a different reason why it's considered a Shem HaSochar. According to the Yitzchak, if he took when he took a Shalei B'Shah Salvosi, but nevertheless, we're able to say this for it. So says there that if B'Shah, he took a Shalei B'Shah Salvosi, he is coined it completely, meaning the Gabbai becoming a Shoyim Nesokar on it. So if he takes it B'Shah Salvosi, it's a lower stage, but at least it's considered still his, and he should be able to be Mekadosh HaSeisha. And concerning the Etzem Achloikis, Mirash and Toysis, whether he is coined it only the Gabbai Gnevi Vaveja, like Toysis says, or like Rashi says that he is koined even the Galil Yitzchayev Lointzin, so the Shach Echoshe Mishpat, Simenayim Beis, goes into at length in this Machloikis, and he tries to defend the Shita of Rashi. And he brings many Svaris to answer and explain the Shita of Rashi. And just to point out a few of the Svaris the Shach says, first of all he says, from the Lashon itself where it says, Balchoyf Koine Mashkin, is Mashme, that he is Koine Kinyin Gomor. Because if he wouldn't be koine completely, then it should have said what kind of kinyan it is. Since it just says Balchoyf koine mashkin, his mashmi, his koine is completely, and therefore we have to say it means his koine as if it becomes his and he's even chayev oinsin. Another thing, if Yitzchak learns out this din of Balchoyf is koine mashkin, and he says why, because it's not koine, it's doka minayin, then why would the pasuk say he gets the doka for giving it back? So if we're going to say that Reb Yitzchak only meant that he is koine it without the gneve v'aveja like a shayim etzochot, so it comes out that it's still not completely the malvis. The loivis still has a schus in it, because after all, he is only like a shayim esochar on it. Now, if he still has a schus over it, then the kasha that Rabbi Yitzchak asks comes back, zdoka minayin, why, if he gives it back, is it considered zdoka? After all, he gave back to the loivis an object which belongs to the loivis. Because all it is like a pikudin in the hands of the malvis. The malvis is only watching the object of the loivis, and he's like a shayim esochar. So it's really the loivis object. So the kasha yes, Dokam and Nayim comes back. Since he's trying to answer this question by saying Bachoyf Koine Mashkin, obviously the Loive has no more schus over the Mashkin. And that is only possible, so you're going to say that he's Koine, King and Governor, evil is Chayav Boinsin. Then he asks another kasha. Toysis in Bometzi, as he said before, ask the kasha that if it's Koshif, King and Governor, then why is he not Chayav Boinsin in Monashech? If he is not Koine, he shouldn't even be a Shem HaSocha. If he is Koine, then why isn't he koine completely? So that kasha is a very strong raya to Rashi's pshat. And even though Tosfos answers that the reason he is considered a shayim esochah is because he has hanor from the fact that he is able to use it to mekadosh haisha, but he says this itself is hard to understand. Why should he be able to be mekadosh haisha with it? Because the whole reason we say he's able to be mekadosh haisha with it is because he is koine. And now we're saying, why is he koine? Because he's able to be mekadosh haisha. Where does it start? If we're going to say like Rashi, that for some reason we see from the Pasuk that he is Koine Kinyan Gomor, when we know he's Koine Kinyan Gomor, as a result of that, we say that he's able to be Mekadosh HaYisha. But now we're saying Be'etzem he's not Koine at all. What makes him to be Koine as even as a Shem HaSochar? Is because he has Anor from the fact that he's able to be Mekadosh HaYisha. Why in the world should he be able to be Mekadosh HaYisha with it to begin? And therefore we must say that it's not like Tosfos, but like Rashi, that he is Koine Kinyan Gomor. And then he asks another Kasha. And what Tosfos said in Bamitzia, that when it says in the Gemara that you could be Mekadosh HaYisha with it. Tosfos in Bamitzia learns it's only if you took the Maschin Shalei B'Shah Salvosai, because if you took it B'Shah Salvosai, it is not considered yours, and you cannot be Mekadosh HaYisha. So he asks, why is this different than Shmita and Chometz? That there we say that even B'Shah Salvosai, it is Kishaloi, it is considered his, and it's not Meshamet, and also he's Oiver and Chometz. And then the Shach says that the Ramban also learns like Tosfos. What is the Svara of the Ramban? The Ramban says that even she'ein kol hanoah shaloi, because when he has the mashkin, he cannot have the complete hanoah from the mashkin. Adarabe, there is more hanoah for his friend, the one that gave him the mashkin, for him. Since there is a din that he must return the mashkin, the male, there is more hanoah for his friend that he gives it back than for himself. And since he doesn't have the complete hanoah from it, therefore we cannot say that it's completely his, with chayibon. And also the Rabban says, since he gave the money away as a halvoah to the loyver, and he's holding the mashkin instead, but nevertheless he cannot use the mashkin, so how can we say that he's coining it completely, and he's chayiv onsen even like a shoyo? Where do we find that a shoyo should be offered to use it? If someone borrows an object, and it becomes his because he borrowed it, and he's chayiv onsen, the dini, he's allowed to use it. That's the whole idea of a shoyo, that he's borrowing an object to use. Now, since this malveh, when he takes the mashkin, he's not allowed to use it, so obviously he's not like a shoyo. But that proves that he's not chayiv onsen. And the Shach says, considering these photos of the Ramban, that it's not understood. First of all, he says, who says that the Malveh is not allowed to use the Mashkin? The truth is, he has to give the Mashkin back when the Loiveh has to use it. So who says that at other times he cannot use it? He gives it back, and at the time when he gives it back, the Loiveh uses it, but when it comes back to the Malveh, then he's allowed to use it. For instance, if he has, let's say, a Machrisha, a vessel with what you plow the field, so he has to give it back during the day for the Malveh, for the Loiveh to use it, but at night he takes it back, so at night he's allowed to use it. Who says he can't use it? So really, all the Hanoah is the Malveh. It really is his, and he's allowed to use it. There's just a side din that he must return it to the Loiveh at the time the Loiveh has to use it. But that's not because the Loiveh has a kus over it. It's really the Malveh, and the Malveh could use it. There's a special din, you should return it, that you must give it back to the Loiveh at a certain time. But really, it remains the Malveh. And then he continues that even more. The emes is that even if you're going to say like the Ramban, that the Malveh is not allowed to use it, still the pshat is his chayiv onsen. Why? Because if a choy coin a mashkin, then that means it's his and his chayiv onsen. The reason he can't use it is really for a side thing. Since there is a din that you must return at a certain time to the loiver, so if you're going to use it, that means that when you're going to return it to the loiver, it'll be less than what you are supposed to give it. You're supposed to return to the loiver the mashkin as he gave it to you. That's the din. Not because it's his, it's the malveh. But nevertheless, the Torah said that object that you took from him as a mashkin, you must return to him at a certain time. So you must give it to him the same way you took it as a mashkin. Now, if you're going to use it, it'll get a little bit spoiled. So when you return it to him, you won't be returning to him the same object, but a lesser object than what he gave you. That should be the reason why you wouldn't be able to use it. But not because it is not yours. So really, a malveh is going to the mashkin completely, even chai bronze, like Rashi says. There is just a din that you must return at a certain time to the loiveh. And because of that, you are not allowed to use it at other times, because then you will not be able to fulfill this din of returning him the same object he gave you, because you will spoil it a little bit by using it.